Usually I'll ask the question, but I don't think I have to ask the question this morning. I'll usually say, would you agree with me if I said? So let me ask that, but I know what your answer is going to be. Would you agree with me if I said that life can sometimes be really difficult? Right now, I don't have to ask that question. We know that it can be tough and it can be difficult. But here's my second, would you agree with me? But would you agree with me that maybe the most difficult thing to do in life is to surrender, is to give it up, to surrender control, to give up my life, to let someone else make the decisions, let someone else take charge? That's really, really difficult. We even see that right now where it's in our best interest to stay away, and we don't. To not go to the parks, and we go. To not go where other people are, and we go, because it's so difficult to surrender. To let go of the control and say, I'm not in control. I'm not going to do this. It also happens in our spiritual lives. We'll say, Lord, this is where I'm going. You just follow me and you clean up the mess behind me and all will be fine. So the question today is this. In your life, who is leading and who is following? Who's in control? To help us with that, I'm going to take you to a well-known passage in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 21 to 28. Matthew 16, 21 to 28. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There we go. So Matthew 16, verse 21. And I'm going to start, I'm going to read from the NIV today. So it's easy. Most of you have your NIVs. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Now Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Kind of the word surrender. Take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done. Truly, I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In your life, who is leading and who is following? So here we have Jesus explaining to the disciples that he's going to Jerusalem. And then he explains to them what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He says, guys, I know we're going and there's a big feast going on again. And you're going to experience something amazing in the beginning. Going to go in there, going to be on a donkey. People are going to shout, Hosanna, welcome is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. And all is going to seem fine and dandy. And then things are going to change rapidly. They're going to arrest me. I'm going to suffer. And in the end, they're going to execute me and I'm going to die. But on the third day, God is going to raise me from the dead. I want you to hear clearly what's happening here. So when Jesus talks to disciples about going, dying, going to the grave, there's no regret. He's not saying this with a heavy heart. He's not making light of this. He's saying, listen, it's going to be difficult. Listen, it's going to be hard. Listen, life's going to be really, really tough for me. But I want you not to be fixated on all these things that are making it difficult and are hard around what's going on. I want you to just for a second look and see who is there in all of this and who has not changed. It's God. Yes, I'm going to go. Yes, they're going to arrest me. Yes, I'm going to suffer. Yes, they're going to nail me to a cross. Yes, they're going to put me in the grave. But yes, there is a third day. Can I say that in modern English? The moment I surrender everything, the moment I take my life and I place it in God's hands, whatever that might entail, whatever that might bring, the moment I say, there you go, Lord, you lead. God shows up. That's what the third day means. The moment I say, you lead, I follow. Despite all the noise around me, despite all the scary things around me, despite everything that might be really tough, the moment I say, there, Lord, God shows up in a way that will stun you, because who's ever seen a dead man walk from a grave and sit at the right hand of the Father? But that's difficult for us, isn't it? It's hard. But it's also a two-way street. It's a cause and effect. If Jesus did not surrender and suffer and go to the cross, the third day would never have happened. Only because he said, yes, I will. And he went and he trusted God. The third day happened and God showed up. But we want the control. Even the disciples, after hearing this, they still go to Jerusalem. They're bickering. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Lord? Mom, you go ask if one of us can sit on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side in the kingdom. What do they want? Control. I want to be in charge. I want to lead. No! For God to show up, I need to step back. Let God go ahead and then follow and walk with God. That's what happens on the third day if I surrender. Now you know the story. My good friend Peter, verse 22. He has a hard time with this because Peter likes to lead. To be in charge. He cuts off ears. He's the one who catches the fish. He leads. Where does it always take him? Gets him further in trouble. Same thing. Come here, Lord Jesus. We got something to talk about. This nonsense about you going to suffer and die. Not going to happen. You hear me? Kind of two things when I look at this. On the one side, I want to chuckle a little bit and shake my head. On the other side, I want to shake my head and cry. Because the little chuckle comes from, here's Peter thinking that he can stop the Son of God to do what the Son of God has come to do. As if. My little tear comes from when Peter tries to take charge and lead and not surrender. He doesn't know what needs to happen for God to show. Peter's got this thing that the world has in it. Jesus, we got a good thing going. Why give it up now? Let's go into Jerusalem. We'll just take it over. Look at us. We've got 12 of us. We can do this thing. Why would you not want to do that? Why? See, the problem with Peter, and this is the problem with the leading thing, Peter is only thinking of Peter's own interests. That's when we are in charge. No wonder Jesus says to him, Peter, get behind me. It's an interesting image. Get behind. I will lead, and then you can come behind me. Because if you're in front of me, you're a stumbling block. Because you're going to stumble and fall so often because you really can't do it, that I'm going to be falling right over you all the time. Get behind me, Peter, so I can lead you. But it's also interesting to see that he's really harsh in the way that he even calls him Satan, get behind me. Because you see, when Peter is taking over like this and trying to lead and doing his own thing and just thinking of Peter's own interest, because for Peter, he's thinking, my best interest is to think of my best interest only. He's going against everything that is the character of God and who is God. Because if you look at God, the only thing that God ever thinks about is everyone else. About what he can do for me, what he can do for you, how he can love us, how he can care for us. You got it all wrong, Peter. You're thinking like people, and you're not thinking how God thinks. Who's leading and who's following? Because if I get this wrong and I don't surrender, my friends, I might not receive that amazing gift of the third day. It's a two-way street. Surrender, third day. No surrender, no third day. I lead, don't know where it's going to end. I might end up in the wrong story. Let me give you a little story. So there's a story about this man and this woman. They've been married 60 years. Time for them to move out. They're moving from their home into a senior's home, packing up the house. The man is working and he discovers in a little cupboard, he discovers this shoebox. In the shoebox, there's two little crocheted dolls and $90,000 in cash. Goes to his wife. He says, look what I got. In one of the cupboards, do you know anything about this? He says, yeah, it's mine. He says, yours? Why? He says, well, she said, when I asked my grandmother, what would you say is the best thing to make a marriage work? She said, never argue. When you're mad at your husband, go into your room and crochet a doll. Don't fight. And he looked and he saw only two dolls and he thought, wow, 60 years, only two dolls. And then he said, but what about the $90,000? Where does that come from? She says, well, after I crocheted the second doll, I didn't have any more room in the shoebox. So every time I crocheted a doll, I took it to the craft store and I sold it for $5. See, he was living in the wrong story for a moment. We need to surrender. Because what if I think what I'm doing, I'm actually living in the wrong story? What if my control is preventing God from doing what God needs to do in my life? What if this narrative of the world to get more as fast as you can, as often as you can, what if all of that is leading nowhere but pain and suffering and struggling? What if all of that is preventing God from doing what God wants to and needs to do in my life? And I'm preventing God to let me live the story that God wants me to live. Because I want to lead. Get behind me so I can lead. What if Jesus' answer in verse 20 or Jesus' advice in verse 25 is the right advice? What if trying so hard to win our lives, we're actually doing nothing else but losing our lives? What if losing means winning and gaining? Why? Because when I give it up, God. When I give my control away, God's power becomes stronger. God didn't show up because Jesus chose not to go to the cross. God showed up because Jesus chose to go to the cross and to the grave. That's what following Jesus means. I surrender. I give it up. Not because I'm losing something, because actually I'm gaining everything. So let me end. For a moment, As you sit there with your family, take a quiet moment. Think about your life and how you are living your life. Who is leading right now? Who is following? And as you do this, think, what will it take for you to surrender your life to God so God could show up? What do you need to surrender right now? Maybe it's something that you need to fix with your family. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's that fear because you've lost your job. And it's hard, and I know that, and I'm not making light of that. Maybe it's that anger thing that I carry around and just snaps like that. Maybe it's a relationship thing to fix with my parents, with my siblings. As you think of what you need to surrender, here's my challenge. Will you make a choice? A decision. A surrender decision. To give it to God. So the third day can happen for you. So God can show up. For the moment, I let go. And the moment I step back and the moment I say, I give it all to you. Now, Lord, you go. Wherever you go, I'll follow. That's when God will show up in an amazing way that you have never experienced in your life before. But it's all about who is leading and who is following. Can you surrender? Can I pray with you? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and doing and showing what we should do. That I surrender all. It's hard. We really don't want to do that, Lord. It's in our nature to want to be in control, but we just mess it up. Help us to give it into the Father's hands and leave it there. For we've seen, Lord, when we do that, when the third day shows up, what an amazing gift that is. And as we pray about surrender, Lord, we pray for our folks that are going through difficult times, all of us, but some even more. Some of us are really lonely right now because we don't have people with us. We just have the telephone and maybe a little FaceTime or a little Skype. And thank you for that. But will you just be there through others that care for us as well as we're alone? In these difficult times, some of us are really, really ill. And people can't come and visit us because we have to take care of everyone. And that's tough, Lord. And then it's really difficult to surrender. Some of us, Lord, are sitting next to our loved ones, and their time in this world is short, and we don't know what to do. Can we just surrender? We pray for them, for your strength. Just this week, Lord, families went through really, really scary, scary moments. But you showed up and you continue to show up. Thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace that overwhelms us. Thank you that we belong to you and in all that we are. Father, we surrender. We surrender to you. You just lead and we'll follow. The world scares us right now. And we so want to do and we so want to take control, but we can't. But you can. And we know you will. And for that, Lord, we thank you. And we get behind you and we walk with you. For you are our God, and you are our Lord, and you are our Savior. You're an amazing God, and we thank you. As we pray all of these things, in that amazing name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our leader. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. So, remember the other day I made a little joke and I said, this is the moment that we're going to take up our collection. I want to thank you today. Even in this time where we're all going through difficult times, many of you are not working, not able to work, allowed to work. Some of you have lost your jobs. You have been taking care of this church and this congregation in ways that's choking me up right now that I cannot explain. I thank God for that, but I thank you for that, because we can't come and say, hey, you better give. All we can say is, thank you that you have been giving and that you give. And you are amazing in the way in which you care for this place and for these people and for the work of the Lord. May God continue to bless you as we go through all of these difficult times together. Thank you, Central, for being who you are and what you are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I love you.